Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We know there's been a lot of things that we've missed in covering the ratification debates, but what we wanted to do was we wanted to hunker down and literally get our eyes down and focused on the target. The only way we're going to understand how far we have drifted from adhering to the Constitution is by focusing on the ratification debates. So that's the reason why we divulged into that. Now, one of the things we will be getting into in the near future will be, one, the 17th Amendment and American republicanism. These are very important principles and very important things that we have to understand how and why the failure to comply to American republicanism and the concept of the 17th Amendment is repugnant to a good, effective constitutional or hybrid constitutional republic that is built with all of these checks in them, because both of these mechanisms, American republicanism and that 17th Amendment, are flying in the face of the intent and concept of having checks and balances within our government. What they're doing is they're running amok. And we need to, the only way we're going to be able to stop and change our course is start understanding the principles of why these things were done in the first place so that we can get back to these things. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the solutions. I would ask that you would consider supporting the show by supporting our sponsor, Red State Coffee. Please make sure you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and click on that link and go ahead and give Red State. This is a premium coffee, top-notch coffee, so go get yourself some coffee so that you can actually be supporting the Red State Talk Radio, Reclaiming the Republic, this particular show on Red State Talk Radio, as well as supporting your like, your affinity, your propensity of enjoying coffee, because it is, like I said, top-notch coffee. Now, we also have the GoFundMe, the crowdfunding out on GoFundMe campaign. And so if you want to check us out and you want to support our travel costs and some of the things that we're doing, by all means, then you just go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org or search for Reclaiming the Republic on GoFundMe, because we have a link on the homepage on GoFundMe. We have a link on the homepage of ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. So if you go there, you can click on that link or just search for Reclaiming the Republic and you can find out how much we need. We do need your help. And we would also beg you to consider getting involved, becoming a leader, because we need leaders like you in your county and state. Now is a great time, especially if you understand what we have just covered in the ratification debates and the huge differentiators of a constitutional framework and how to adhere to that with regards to how far we have drifted from that. You could easily start leading in these principles and concepts. Now, Constitution Day is coming up. We're about at a month out, so I'm going to have to start looking up. And so please let us know what you are doing. What are your plans for Constitution Day? Now, I haven't done this in a long time, but I do want to thank you for tuning in. We have been growing and we're continuing to grow, but we need to continue to grow well beyond our current positions in rankings and so forth. We need every American to start hearing this information regarding the Constitution. There's a lot of people that are just going to be up in arms and going to say, "This, no way. That's not what our Constitution is." And we're happy to walk through the process, walk through the details, the definitions, the clarifications, and we're even willing to walk around the woodshed so that these people can really understand what the heck is going on. So with that, see, I want to fly through these things. Why am I flying through all this stuff so quickly? I have meaning and intent. There is a lot of stuff that has kind of come up and or has been ignored or kind of hidden in the cracks. So I want to go through a lot of the older stuff first because I think this is important. And one of the things you have not heard yet, and I talked about this, I think yesterday or the day before, or maybe both. If you haven't heard that there is a Pentagon video that has been leaked, and this is a video that actually exposes how the Pentagon is using a formula or serum, or whatever you want to call it, that is being added to your flu vaccine to help change your behavior as far as your religious thinking. I'm not kidding. They were actually briefing, and they're talking about using, and they've probably been doing this. I haven't had the chance to really do all the full analysis, but you're more than welcome to look at this. This seems like a legitimate video. I'm not even going to say it's fake news because there is more and more things like this coming out. They're talking about how effective this formula is in changing a religious person's behavior from being a zealot or, you know, fervently, you know, embracing their religion to, you know, abandoning their principles and religions. Why is it that they're doing this? Because they understand that religion in America is a driving factor for our politics and so forth. This should alarm you. This should be very scary. And we need to get this posted. And so what I want to do is just make sure that you check this out. And so we will get this posted on our website so that you can actually go to it today and actually see. So just go to the RSTR or the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. And that's where you can find a link to this video on YouTube so that you can see it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go see it for yourself. And you tell me that this is not a very dark and evil side of government and the progressives and what they're trying to do. It is all about control. And the ends justify the means. Now, G. Edward Griffin made a comment in the Need to Know News a little while ago, and this is one of the many things we're going to go through today where it is just air apparent that you need to get your Need to Know News on. And he was saying by 2021, U.S. Navy destroyers will be armed with new ship-fired lasers able to sense and incinerate enemy drones, low-flying aircraft, and even small boat attacks, all while firing at the speed of light. So Lockheed Martin has developed and finally gotten to a point where we're in the Star Wars or Star Trek era of using laser weapons called high-energy laser and integrated optical dazzler with surveillance or Helios. And it is engineered to survey and track and destroy all of these types of targets. The goal is to detect incoming attacks early enough, giving the commanders more time to make combat decisions regarding a possible response. And so this is an obvious thing that can be done, you know, regarding other applications as well. Now, G. Edward Griffin points out that, hey, they might be able to use this on crowd control and dissidents and so forth and rebellious behavior. Well, okay. I just think that all we have to do is start enforcing the Constitution and not allow, you know, those types of protests out in the street, and we would probably be able to quell most of these problems. Anyway, another thing he points out previously in Paris, As many as 700 black vest protesters filled the Pantheon, a popular tourist site and mausoleum where the most renowned French national leaders such as Voltaire and Victor Hugo and others are buried, and the demonstrators insisted on meeting with Prime Minister Eduardo Philippe. They demanded citizenship, the right to live and work in France, and the majority of the protesters who call themselves Black Vest, in contrast to the Yellow Vest movement, are believed to be migrants of West African origin. And so they ended up arresting about 37 of these protesters. But I'm amazed that we keep on placating these illegals and these dissidents and these people who were actually trying to do us harm and undermining our culture, our laws, and so forth. I don't know. But these types of things are not in the news per se. And I think these types of things that we miss in the news, we have to start looking at these. What is it going to take to get you involved in finally doing something for yourself and protecting your liberties and in protecting your family's liberties in the future? Okay, so this one is going to be really outrageous to you, and this has happened in Texas. A religious Orthodox Christian father, Jeff Younger, is legally prohibited from raising his son as a boy under threat of imprisonment because his ex-wife, who is a pediatrician, claimed their son is a transgender girl. Yeah, that's right. No, obviously we've ran out of time, so I'm going to finish this story when we come back. But if you want to understand how damaging a divorce can be, especially an ideological divorce like this, we'll talk about it when we get back. I'm just so frustrated, but we will talk about this when we come back. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. My three C's are pretty simple. Just in case you've forgotten, I went through them for the first year in airing. It is to be civil, to be confidential. Actually, first off, confident. If you know who I am, don't use my name. I go by GR. The other C is to be civil. And the other C is to be concise. Let's get to the point so that we can just move forward. But let's move forward on this, because most of these shows are still being pre-recorded. And that's just due to the fact that I have so much on my plate in being the executor and taking care of some of the personal things that I have to take care of. So anyway, I want you to think about this. A religious Christian father, Jeff Younger, is legally prohibited from raising his son as a boy under the threat of imprisonment because of his ex-wife, who is an alleged pediatrician. Now, she may have gone to the schools and so forth, but that does not mean, and she may have passed a bar exam or a doctor's exam, or whatever they call that. But the whole point is that what kind of pediatrician would try to inflict their own child with their own ideological agenda? I honestly believe that this young child, if this actually happens to them, I hope that they're actually able to fully rectify the problem by going after and destroying their parent who has gone down this path of destroying their lives. She is now preparing the boy for a chemical castration at age 8 and a future sex change surgery, which the father may be forced to help pay for. Just think about that. You may be forced to help pay for something that you absolutely morally and conscientiously just deny. You do not believe that this is something you should be doing, and you're going to be forced to be paid for this? I already had a long-term problem with being forced. Let's say you go through a divorce and you do not have the money. You don't have the means of being able to pay for your child's college education. Well, if you get divorced, you may be forced into having to pay for it, especially if you have a spiteful wife that says, you know, we don't care how much money you're making. We're going to take the child to, because as long as that child is in college, then that ex or that former spouse is making child support for those years. And it's just another way to hurt and financially incapacitate somebody because of, you know, the fact that they got divorced. However, had they stayed married, then there would have been no way that the father would have had to have carried that type of burden, especially if they couldn't afford it. Anyway, the boy has a twin brother who is being raised as a boy. Mr. Younger claims that his son has been misdiagnosed with gender dysphoria. And there's no doubt in my mind that's probably the case, because how can a child at age 8 even understand sexuality? This is just insane. Now, J. Edward Griffin also has this more information regarding immigration, and the Center for Immigration Studies compared the cost to American taxpayers of millions of illegal aliens living in the U.S. over a lifetime, which is estimated at almost $1 trillion. And the cost of deportation, which amounts to about $10,000 per illegal. If illegal aliens living in the U.S. were deported, it would save taxpayers an astounding well over $500 billion. Over that lifetime, that's how much money that would save. The latest Harvard-Harris poll finds that a majority of Americans support Trump's plan to mass deport illegal aliens following inaction from Congress. Excuse me. This includes support from many more than 8 in 10 Republican voters and more than 5 in 10 swing voters. Too bad it's no longer supported by Trump, because Trump has kind of abandoned this, or actually he swings back and forth on this. And so this kind of points out to how the political football is being passed by a populist president. This is why we need a constitutional president. This is why we need constitutional people in office. Another story by G. Edward Griffin in the Need to Know News. Rickett okay, I'm going to mispronounce this, Bankshire, the RB Group, agreed to pay $1.4 billion to resolve a U.S. investigations over claims that its former pharmaceutical business, Indivior, created out an illegal scheme to boost sales of the opioid addiction treatment. Indivior was accused of deceiving doctors into believing its product, Suboxone film, itself a form of opioid, was safer and less susceptible to abuse than similar opioid drugs. And the company allegedly directed opioid-addicted patients to doctors who prescribed Suboxone, or how, if that's how you pronounce it, at high rates. Indivior has pleaded not guilty to conspiracy and fraud charges and will face trial in federal court. There has been more and more going after these opioid companies because of the things that they did. This is the exact same thing that happened with the tobacco companies, right? Very similar to other companies. Why is it that we're not going after alcohol companies for making Kool-Aid seem, you know, more desirable to get buzzed on? Why are we not going after the food, like Kraft or food companies, by adding sugar and other things that are causing more harm for diabetes and these other things? I'm telling you, folks, there has been nefarious behavior in corporations across the board in trying to manipulate people, creating addictions and so forth. Anyway, a recent released and subsequently deleted document published by a NATO-affiliated body has sparked headlines in Europe with an apparent confirmation of a long-held open secret that U.S. nuclear weapons are being stored in Belgium, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Turkey. A version of the document titled "A New Era for Nuclear Deterrence, Modernization, Arms Control, and Allied Nuclear Forces" was published in April, written by a Canadian senator for the Defense and Security Committee of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly. The report assessed the future of the organization's nuclear deterrence policies. Well, what they were doing was they were divulging classified information. And so, just like WikiLeaks, just like other things, people that may have access to these things, as these things come forward, it doesn't mean you should just print them, because there could be consequences with that. So it's one thing to come out and publicly say, hey, I've read this stuff, and, you know, kind of just kind of gloss over, but without revealing details. I think that's the moral high ground that you might be able to say, but actually releasing something that you had no business receiving or no business sharing or telling somebody, I can understand these people, you know, getting in trouble and actually being held by the court, because you can't go into court with dirty hands and expect to be, you know, released because you're, you know, you're innocent. No, your hands are dirty. Anyway, the next story. But what would make news months later is a passing reference that appeared to reveal the location of roughly 150 U.S. nuclear weapons being stored in Europe. So, in other words, the senator got away with doing all of this, but what ended up happening was a Belgian newspaper actually disclosed the nuclear arsenals that actually identified the six U.S. European bases where these weapons were being stored. And so, you know, it's like, go figure, you know, when people start, you know, divulging stuff, well, I got away with that. Well, let's get away with a little bit more. I don't know. It's hard for me to fathom why anybody would even want to do those types of things, other than the fact that they want to cause harm to the only nation that is defending liberty around the world. Now, there's lots of people that would say America is an intervening and a bad, but we're not. America is not. We have bad players in our government, such as the Obama administration, Clinton's, and so forth. But anyway, The fact of the matter is that we have been, and we are the only country that has ever put our own lives on the line to help secure and or restore liberty for the citizens of other countries. And here's an interesting one. In San Diego, a deported Marine veteran who has been unable to come back to the United States for more than a decade was denied entry to the country Monday morning when he was asked to be let in for a scheduled citizenship interview. Roman Sabal, 58, originally from Belize, came to San Ysidro Port of Entry around 7:30 Monday and basically was requesting to be able to go come to a parole to attend his naturalization interview scheduled the same day. Well, border officials have basically and temporarily have allowed other people, but they did not allow him access. So Sabal is the first, and he's the first to actually have this kind of rug pulled out from underneath him. But we'll finish this when we come back because we're at a heartbreak. So please stay tuned. We've got a lot of need-to-know news coming up, and so we've got to ask you, what is it going to take for you to get involved? And we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the sad part of this story is to know and understand how there are how senators like Booker had already openly escorted people across the bound our borders illegally and unconstitutionally. Here's a guy, Sabal, former Marine, who is trying to follow the letter of the law, and he's just running into brick walls and obstacles. Sabal first applied to become a U.S. citizen in 1995 after serving for 6 years as a Marine. Later, he then served several more years in the Army Reserves. He has two children that are U.S. citizens, and his partner, who he hopes to marry, she's a U.S. citizen as well. So why is it that we just give a green carpet or green light, or red carpet, I should say, to the illegals to run across and to invade us. But somebody like Sabal here, who is trying to actually follow the intent of the law, I don't get it. Anyway, Medicare for all. Government health care for all. If you want to understand how bad government-ran health care is, go check out the Veterans Affairs. Go look at how people are dying because they can't get treatment. This is what you want? This is what Bernie Sanders wants to inflict upon America? Just understand these numbers. In Atlanta, the Atlanta Tribune News Service basically stated, an arm of the Veterans Affairs Department in Atlanta eliminated 200,000, over 200,000 applications from across the country for health care earlier this year amid efforts to shrink a massive backlog of requests, saying they were missing signatures or some technicality about military service, income, or something else. You have to understand that that's what the government can do. That's what the governments will do without prejudice. They will just delete your file. The veterans group says that the VA should have done more to communicate with the veterans before closing their applications, some of which dated back to 1998. Troops face additional challenges in applying for VA health care, they said, and they grapple with re-entry into civilian life. Change addresses, following overseas deployments and suffering from combat stress, PTSD, and so forth, and these guys have to keep up with the bureaucracy and the red tape. And in the middle of the controversy is the VA's Health Eligibility Center, the Atlanta office that oversees the process by which veterans seek access to the VA medical system. It and its parent agencies have come under intense scrutiny in recent years for mismanagement and delays in providing health care, presenting a thorny challenge for President Donald Trump, who has focused on veterans care during his presidential campaign, and they're still failing. Do you understand? Even when you've got somebody that is trying to make this turd look nice by shining it. Are you kidding me? This is what the socialists want to do to everybody. I'm telling you, this is a bad direction. And as of April, 8.8 million veterans were enrolled in the VA healthcare system. Only 8.8. I can tell you that there are far more veterans out there. The VA said it enrolled almost 400,000 people in its healthcare system and rejected 100,000 in the fiscal year ending in September. Its backlog of pending applications totaled over 300,000 in April, down again from that high of almost a million. But you got to understand that all of these people are, you know, being thrown back and forth, and they're just deleting files and getting rid of them. Do you understand what they're saying when they say Medicare for all? If you think they treat veterans a little bit better than the average citizen, how do you think it is going to fare for you? It will not fare good. As a matter of fact, government is the best entity to kill people without prejudice. They just don't care. Why would you want them to be the caretakers of your health care, to be the providers of your education and so forth? We are far better suited to allow the agencies and institutions that are designed with compassionate service to provide compassionate services. That would be your churches, your local communities, and so forth. They are the best that we could actually have. Why do you think our hospitals are called St. Joseph, St. Jude's, St. Mary's, and so forth? It's because our churches were the ones that were administering and giving and helping provide health care. And those relics will become relics of the past as people stop naming, you know, the St. Joseph's Children's Hospital to, you know, just a children's hospital where all they'll be doing is changing diapers instead of really providing quality health care. Now, here's an interesting story from G. Edward Griffin on the Need to Know News, and he reported that the Judicial Watch, and it's a conservative watchdog group, and if you don't know Tom Fitton, you should. They do great things. Anyway, they announced that they have basically got Kentucky to remove 250,000 inactive voters from registration rolls, registered voter rolls. Judicial Watch is working to clean up dirty voter rolls to reduce voter fraud in the 2020 election. Last month, Los Angeles County started removing an estimated, get this, 1.5, just Los Angeles County, 1.5 million inactive or ineligible voters from its rolls to comply with federal election laws. This is a result of court settlement with Judicial Watch. Los Angeles County, with more than 10 million residents, has more voter registrations than its citizens old enough to register to vote, and it's the first time in 20 years that Los Angeles has even cleaned its voter rolls as required by federal law. Now, another good old piece of need-to-know news in G. Edward Griffin, you need to go sign up for this. But anyway, he reports that Dieter Gummer, a member of the notoriously pro-migrant left-wing Social Democrat Party, answered his door to find an unfamiliar man who heavily punched the 67-year-old politician in the face. Now, I'm not condoning this behavior, but this is what's happening to Republicans, and I'm just wanting to let you law-abiding citizens know that there is an imbalance in how people go after their elected officials. So anyway, this 67-year-old politician gets punched in the face last month, which turned into a fatal attack as Walter Lubbock, 65, a member of the Chancellor Angela Merkel's left-wing Christian Democrats, was shot in the head and killed at his home. He had reportedly received death threats due to his pro-migrant sentiments. Police arrested Stefan Ernest for the murder, and he confessed to being motivated by his far-right beliefs. Interior Minister Horst Seehofer blamed rising lawlessness on right-wing extremism, the real threat, quote-unquote, to society. But he ignored the fact that immigrants, who represented only 2% of Germany's population, committed over 14% of the fatal crimes and over 12% of the sexual offenses in their country that are occurring. So in other words, they're well overrepresented in committing crimes, harsh, violent crimes. A group representing the mayors seek to protect public officials while ignoring the public, whose vulnerability has been aggravated by a massive increase in non-European migrants. I'm telling you, folks, you need to start getting angry. You need to start taking a stand. The greatest stand we can take is demanding compliance to our Constitution. Okay? I just want you to know this. You have a right to demand compliance to your Constitution. The folks that you have to focus this energy on are your state legislators. That's the political races we will be focused on in 2020. Now, let me give you some more on, Omar the Corrupt. We'll just call her Omar the Corrupt out of Minnesota. A video of a 2018 era for the election interview with Representative Ilhan Omar the Corrupt shows her saying that Americans should be, quote, more fearful of white men, close quote, when asked if she thought conservatives were right to have legitimate fears of Islam in view of Islamic terror attacks in America, including the 2017 truck attack in New York. Omar the Corrupt said, I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within our country. And so if the driving force of policies to keep America safe inside the country, we have to start monitoring and the radicalization of white men. Are you kidding me? Anyway, what a racist. We will be back after these two promos. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so let me reread this quote again because I really had to punch it out real quick. This is what Omar the Corrupt said. Quote, I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. And so, if fear was the driving force of policies to keep America safe, Americans safe inside this country, we should be profiling, monitoring, and creating policies to fight the radicalization of white men. Close quote. I am here to tell you that she is a racist and she has nothing to do with fulfilling her oath and obligation of service as a congresswoman. Now, even more on Omar the Corrupt, I'm going to be doing a little butchering of the names that are going to be following this, but this is out of G. Edward Griffin as well. Journalist David Steinberg of Powerline Blog makes the case, based on a marriage license and other public records and social media evidence, that Congresswoman Ilhan Omar the Corrupt allegedly married her biological brother, Ahmed Nur Said Elmai, and also claims that Ilhan Omar the Corrupt is not part of the Omar family, but that they allowed Ilhan, her sister Sara Nur, and her father Nur Said Elmai Mohammed to use the Omar name for immigration purposes. In other words, they're masking their name and so forth. The Gateway Pundit posted an article regarding Ilhan Omar the Corrupt's father, who top propaganda official in genocidal Bar regime. Then He changed his name and entered the U.S. illegally. So I'm going to go over this. Omar's father was a top propaganda official in the genocidal Baar regime. Then he changed his name and entered into the United States illegally, alleging that the congresswoman's father was a teacher of teachers who appears to have been a party propagandist under the bloody Marxist Islamic dictator Siad Barre, who was in power when hundreds of thousands of Somali people were massacred by 1991. The Siad Barre regime collapsed and the country plunged into civil war, and probably by the protection of the Clinton administration, they were able to gain access to America because the regime loyalists were not safe in Somalia, and her family fled to Kenya and then moved to the United States when? In 1995. While some critics claimed that Omar's family, or Omar the Corrupt's family, migrated illegally to the U.S. because they did not disclose that they were communist, the Center for Security Policy claims that Congress, at the urging of the Clinton administration, abolished the law requiring that would-be immigrants declare whether they had belonged to a foreign communist party. The Omar family was able to move to America without the important element of screening. See how we can kind of put two and two together, and next thing you know, we're doing some real math. Anyway, J. Edward Griffin also talks about border protection and U.S. Customs. And the question I have on this particular story is, I want you to tell me, how is this not an invasion? How is it that what's happening along our southern border is not an invasion? Why is this not being disclosed and prosecuted as an invasion and following the U.S. Constitution that the U.S. government guarantees to protect us from this? This is why every red state attorney general should be suing the United States government for failing to protect them from an invasion. U.S. Customs, and this is the story, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents had to use tear gas and pepper spray earlier, I think a week or two ago, to stop nearly 50 migrants from illegally entering the United States after they stormed against the temporary barriers, a port of entry along the Texas-Mexico border. Three waves of immigrants stormed the Far Reynosa International Bridge at 4 a.m. when the bridge was closed. This port of entry was reported to be controlled by the drug cartels. Several combative male migrants pushed through the barriers, began assaulting the Customs and Border Protection agents by punching, kicking, and attempting to grab the officers' protective devices. Interesting. A motion by, a new story by J. Edward Griffin. So let me get back to, you know, the analysis I'm asking you to take. As you start looking and start doing the total counts, I think it's 10,000, 30,000 a month, something like 1,000 a day that are coming into New Mexico, California, so forth and so on. How is this not an invasion? Okay. Start looking at this and start having and demanding an open and honest dialogue during the next 2020 election to demand that they start actually enforcing the Constitution. They are supposed to be protecting us from an invasion. And when we're talking tens of millions of illegals in this country having an impact and assaulting our culture, I'm sorry. It's time to whip out the Constitution. We need to start using it as our weapon here. Now, a motion, this is going to really get to you. And this is also from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. A motion by the National Education Association, the NEA, these communists without morals, to rededicate itself to the pursuit of increased student learning in every public school in America. Okay, so this effort failed when put to a vote of 6,000 delegates. Several of the resolutions that did not pass included the fundamental right to an abortion under Roe v. Wade and teaching the concept of white fragility. And fragility is what I really meant to say, fragility. Anyway, if you understand what these people are doing, they are promoting more and more, and they're putting them up. And I'm telling you, it is not going to be, you know, far down the road when they actually start promoting more of these more radical ideas. You got to remember, the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals was a standard recommended reading for all teachers so that all teachers could become basic activists in the education system. What is it going to take for you to take a stand and actually start defending our culture and our liberties? If you're a parent and you're not doing anything, I think you're guilty of child abuse. I think you're guilty of atrocities that are going to be done in the name of progressivism, globalism, and so forth. We have a responsibility as citizens, like I say in my promos, we may not have to take an oath, but our citizenship implies that we are held to that, to defend our Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. All right, so the next story with J. Edward Griffin, and I want to put this into context to illegal aliens and reparations. In South Africa, as land expropriation without compensation is planned for white farmers, homeowners in Johannesburg are dealing with land invaders who live in shacks on vacant land nearby their homes and hack into the homeowners' water and electrical utilities. Syndicates in cahoots with government officials and police are reported to be selling shacks on social media for as little as $180, and homeowners are now organizing themselves to protect their property. Well, do they have that right? Well, I believe so. A woman spokesperson for a group of black homeowners says that the media's claim that Indian residents are attacking blacks and shooting them is not true, and that the media is provoking racial discord. She says homeowners are not fighting the people in the shacks, but object to being forced to pay for their water and electricity. She blames the government and the media for creating chaos and conflict. An elderly resident says that she has lived in the area for 22 years and wants to sell her three-bedroom home to escape the intimidation by the shack dwellers, but cannot do so due to the drop in her property value. And in Cape Town, the government sent in the army to quell drug gang violence. Civilians are being killed who get caught up in the crossfire. Now, here's the point. Here are a bunch of people that are basically, just like illegals, coming in and squatting, living within your communities, under the bridges, and in, you know, no man's land, and creating these vestiges of crime and all and poor health and so forth. And why is it the government enables these people in doing these things? You have to ask yourself, who is your government serving? And this goes in line with reparations for slavery as well. You know, the fact is that I don't have the time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll revisit this tomorrow. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.